Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with Eric Adams and Donna Green Goodman about a plant-based diet and about what you are trying to do in our communities. Be in the midst of our conversation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, you guys, my name is Melissa, and I want to share a true story with you. I grew up reading a Message magazine. I can still remember going to church and heading to the lobby and picking up the Message magazines and going to the health and wellness section and devouring all of the recipes by Donna Green Goodman, who actually ended up becoming my teacher later on at Oakwood. And I love these recipes so much that I collected them throughout the years. And here's proof, a 2007 issue with a bunch of yummy carob recipes. Well, let's fast forward to grad school. I got really ill. And it was a time in my life where I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating properly, I wasn't taking care of my body. And I went to the doctors and I did some tests, and he came back to me and he said, Melissa, your blood levels have some activity going on. It seems like there's leukemia-like activity going on in your body. And I was really scared. I was shocked. And I knew at that moment that if I didn't do something quickly, I was gonna be diagnosed with something I didn't want. But because of the exposure I had to the Message magazine and so many awesome resources that God led my way, I can confidently say that God heals my body through a plant-based lifestyle. But that wasn't the end, because now I was tasked to share my message and my testimony with others. And I remember saying to God, I doubt I can do this. I'm not qualified. What do I know, God? I don't have enough time. All of these excuses. And the God stopped me in my tracks and he said, Melissa, think of all of the people that you know who have passed from things that diet could have cured. And so that whipped me, that whipped me into shape. And I said, okay, God, let's do this. And so I became a health coach and I launched Choosing My Health, a wellness movement to easily help people transition to a plant-based lifestyle and thrive. And so I remembered Message Magazine and I said, God, it would be such an honor, if it be your will, to contribute to Message Magazine. They were such an inspiration to me and I would love to contribute to their recipe section. Well, you guys, I prayed that, but I didn't tell anyone. And several months later, I checked my inbox on Messenger, and Claudia sent me a message. And she said, hey, Melissa, would you be interested in contributing to the Message magazine? Claudia, you were an answer to prayer, and I know that you still are an answer to prayer to so many people around the world right now. And to the entire Message magazine team, Claudia, Carmela, and every single person that is working together for this message, to get this message across for God, I want you guys to know that God is pleased. The time relevant content that you guys are producing is pivotal, it's epic, and people need it. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Godspeed, and may God bless the works of your hands.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What's the Message? I am your host, Claudia Allen, and I am joined by my co-host, my editor-in-chief, the lady who makes sure that everything gets taken care of, Carmela Monk Crawford. And of course, we are back with you for another amazing episode. And I mean, there has been so much that has taken place since the last time we've gotten to converse with you, but we are excited about today's guest, okay? I actually was recommended his book several weeks prior. And then Carmela let me know that she had the hookup, her and our other guest. And so I am so excited to have them here. So we are joined with our returning guest, Ms. Donna Green Goodman, who is our food editor here at Message Magazine. And she is a leading dietary food consultant, providing leadership in developing, implementing, managing, and evaluating public health initiatives, interventions, programs, services, and staff at the national, state, and local levels, and in the college and university setting with specific emphasis in nutrition and healthy lifestyle education. Diagnosed with invasive aggressive metastatic breast cancer in 1996, Donna credits God and a plant-based diet for her healing. Joined with her is our special guest today. He is Eric Adams, the Brooklyn Borough President, having previously served 3 terms in the New York State Senate and 22 years in the New York City Police Department. After being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 2016, he adopted a plant-based diet and successfully reversed his diabetes. I'm telling you, today's show is going to be a powerful one. So you want to make sure to share this right now with your friends. Anybody that is currently not watching live, you want to make sure to share this with them. Carmela, what in the world are we talking about? Because you know I need a good Chick-fil-A sandwich and some fries. So why are you trying to push these plant-based people onto me? Yo.
Well, Mr. Adams, I have to apologize. And Donna, I have to apologize up front. We have been going through this thing, this back and forth with Chick-fil-A for at least a year.
Don't apologize to me.
But Mr. President, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, is such an honor to have you on today. It was very interesting to us of when we were talking just a moment ago that you, I've been to the Brooklyn Borough Hall at least twice. And the last time I was there as part of the press preview for the Vegan Festival. And you were there to make comments and remarks. And it's just amazing how everything coincides. And I want to know, I would really, you know, Claudia alluded to it, but I would love to hear, it looks like he's frozen in my perspective, but if not, there you are, that's great. I would love to hear, sir, your story, your health story. And I wanna get to later on, I know we got a few moments, but I wanna talk about your life as a police officer as well, just one comment. But first, I wanna hear about your story. My understanding is that you were on the police force, this diet that you had of fast food caught up with you. Talk to us about the day that you were arrested by diabetes.
well said, and I love that, Carmela, because you're right. And you use the term arrested, but really how I arrived at the place that many of us are finding ourselves is because, as the book points out, is our continuing embracing of slave food. We may be physically off the plantation. When people talk about the Willie Lynch letter that stated you passed down through generations on how to really keep people of color going at each other and against each other, the real Willie Lynch letter is hidden in our recipes. The slave master forced our ancestors to eat food, and we pass down the destruction through every recipe, and we attach ourselves to it. And that's what happened to me. I came from the soul food diet, and after 22 years of fighting injustice, I went into the police department, not because I wanted to. I was arrested as a child. I was beat bad by police officers. And civil rights activists came to me after a businessman was killed and asked me to go into the police department with 12 other young men. And we started an organization and we fought from within. And although I was able to survive the racism of law enforcement, I was not going to survive the continuation of the food that we have been passed down. And in 2016, I was out of the country when I had a great deal of discomfort in my stomach. I thought it was colon cancer because I just lost a good friend to colon cancer. And you know, men, you have to drag us to the doctors. You know, we're not going to show up. And when I came back to the country, I went for a colonoscopy and had my stomach checked. And when I came out of sedation, the doctor told me, Eric, you have an ulcer, but your real problem is your diabetes. And actually, he said I was in advanced stages. I lost my sight in my left eye at the time, and I was losing it in my right. I had tingling in my hands and feet. I learned it was neuropathic nerve damage that could lead to amputation, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, just the entire black package, I would like to say. And I went to 5 of the best doctors in this city. As a board president, I was able to get access to some of the best doctors in the city. And they said, Eric, listen, your mother's diabetic, your sisters and brothers are diabetic, going through, different chronic diseases. It's just in your DNA. This is what it is. You're going to be on insulin the rest of your life. You're going to eventually lose your sight. And, you may lose some fingers and toes, but that's just, the. And I just refuse to believe that.
Mm-hmm. I hope we can hold on to you, because I see us freezing up every now and then. I would love to know, forgive me for being morbidly curious, but what was the diet that you're talking about? What was it? What were you all eating? And what was it that's a part of your family tradition and so many of our family traditions?
Soul food. I mean, I say to myself, man, what's wrong with you, Negro? You running around here eating this food, but soul food, black eyed peas, chitlins, fried this, sugar that, anything that's sweet, fried, processed, just what we call soul food. And it's so deep. When I look back on this and I laugh at myself, I'm not laughing at people, I'm laughing at myself, because when I sit down at Thanksgiving time and those holidays where we eat these big meals and we're praying about aunt this one and uncle this one who's in the hospital and that can't join us, and Lord, give us the strength that she could recover from the disease. The disease she's recovering from is what we're about to put in our mouths.
Mercy. Well, who helped you to make this linkage? Who helped, go ahead. Because it sounds like the doctors were prepared to allow you to go down the same path as your family.
Oh, it's so powerful, because really think about the connection of medicine and sick care. It's not healthcare, it's sick care. The real drug dealer is not the guy that's selling crack or heroin. It's the 3-piece suit pharmaceutical industry that has our family hooked on drugs for the rest of their lives. And I sat down at the computer one day with all of those medicines. Remember, I went into the doctor's office with no medicine that day. I left with a prescription for my eye, my vision loss, my ulcer, 3 for my diabetes, 1 for my high blood pressure, my high cholesterol. I was like a miniature Walmart by the time I walked out of there with all that medicine. And so I sat down at the computer, Carmela, and I had all these pamphlets from all the doctors that said living with diabetes. But the universe and the creator speaks to us. We just need to listen. And instead of typing living with diabetes, I typed one word different, reversing diabetes. And it took me on another trajectory. And that led me to some great doctors, Dr. Greger, Dr. Esselting, Dr. Barnard, and some others. And I flew to Ohio to the Cleveland Clinic, and I saw Dr. Esselting, and he says, Eric, it's your diet. And I remember saying to myself, I'm losing my sight, and this fool is telling me to stop eating chicken. Man, what the heck is wrong with this quack? But I went back home and started going through my pantry and refrigerator. And started reading the labels, and I was like, wow, this is all processed. This is, we are eating food-like stuff. We're not even eating food anymore. We're eating food-like stuff. So I decided right then to go to a whole food plant-based diet. And then 3 weeks later, my vision came back. 3 months later, my diabetes went in remission. My nerve damage went away. My blood pressure normalized. My cholesterol normalized. And what sent me to the doctors in the first place, that ulcer, it went away. No medicine, only food. And it's a complete reversal.
My Lord, wow. That's an amazing reversal.
I think that's such a powerful story, sir, particularly because I think so many of us think about obesity as being attached to diabetes in our communities. And so if someone is not obese, then we think we're healthy, right? And so the idea that, you know, you could be thin and this, you know, police officer and still begin to actually experience many of the symptoms and the bodily breakdowns that come along with diabetes, I think is a powerful thing that people need to understand.
So true, because people look at their physical presence and they feel as though, hey, I'm slim, I go to the gym, I jog. We look at our body, we're very visual, and we look at our bodies. We're used to taking external selfies. We need to take internal selfies. Go get that blood work, get that blood work up, and then look at those numbers. Those numbers will show you where you're trending. And so I put on a few pounds during that time, but I always had a muscular build. And so I was able to hide, the destruction of my body based on I was so visual. And you know what's also very interesting? The human ability to adapt and normalize how we are living. And I normalize the discomfort of getting up in the morning. I normalize the constipation, the bloating. Wow. I normalize, you know, the headaches. I normalized all of that. And I gradually went into a place where that normalizing hit a wall, and it went from just a gradual to, you know what, Eric? You're going blind. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose some fingers and toes. You know, it's time now to be serious about what you're doing.
Tell me something. You have a new book coming out. I believe the release date is October 13th. Isn't that right? Healthy at Last. And I'm looking at the lineup of the contributors and the experts in this. And I'm seeing you pull from a wide range of backgrounds and diversity of thought and maybe religious backgrounds and all that. Did you have a hand in any of that for your book?
Yes, I did. It was important to me. And, you know, one of the contributors in recipes is Donna, who's on with some great food. You know, she really shatters the myth that eating healthy can't be tasty. And no, that's wrong. You could have a great healthy diet and taste good. Food must look good, be good, and it must taste good. That's why the Creator gave us different sensations for our palates, because we need to enjoy what we're eating so that we can continue the creation of who we are as human beings. And so I put together a group, everyone from Paul McCarthy to Donna and to others have contributed some great tasting recipes. And I wanted to bring in a different energies into the book so that people could understand that we must be holistic in our approach of who we are and what we could become. And that was what I wanted this book to represent to people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing. Well, sir, we've only got about 5 more minutes with you. And I know Carmela really wants to talk with you a little bit about your experience on the police force, particularly considering last night's debate. I know I watched it into the wee hours of the morning, and there was a particular question towards the end that, of course, you know, really just stood out to me or caused me to realize that police brutality really is on the ballot this year. And when they asked about the Breonna Taylor case, you know, Susan Page asks, you know, was justice done for Breonna Taylor? And then we got those two opposing answers, one really kind of humanizing a victim, and then another really kind of elevating the importance of law and order and property and belonging. What does it mean, you know, in these last couple of minutes, you know, for police brutality to kind of be a part of a presidential election, a vice presidential debate?
So important. And, you know, I'm really appreciating the moment that we're in of, you know, when we were on the precinct floor being beat by police officers and yelling and screaming for mercy, we thought our voices would be drowned out by the arrogance of law enforcement. Little did I know Those 22 years of being in the police department, continue to lift our voice up against police misconduct and abuse, would be picked up here. And now the young people who are taking the mantle and continuing this fight is so important. But it has to be more than part of the debate. We need to move in a direction, finally dealing with the origin of abusive behavior by law enforcement. Remember, policing was born out of slavery. And so, you know, it's never going to move far from its destructive past if we don't do so. And so I think there's a couple of things we need to do. Zero tolerance of those officers who are abusing their authority and those who are there and witness the action and don't do something. But there's something else that many of us don't include in this conversation. When we had medical doctors who were not treating Black and brown people correctly, the Howard Universities, the Black historical Black colleges encouraged us to go into medicine. Same thing with education. When educators were not treating us fairly, we opened our own schools, we went into the education. The only place where we as people of color don't play a major role of inside reforming a particular industry is policing. We need to be recruiting Black and brown people in all of our colleges. We need a massive sorority, fraternities, Black churches. If we want public safety ecosystem to change, we need to change it by going inside like I was given those instructions. All of us know conscientious young Black and brown people who could be commanders, detectives, heads of police agencies. We pay our taxes to have racists protect us. That makes no sense. It's time for us to say, we want to be in charge of our public safety. I want that little boy that's sitting in the pew next to me that I know is conscientious to be the cop on my block. Because public safety is the prerequisite to prosperity. They go hand in hand, and you could have justice and safety together. And if we stay back, and each time a young man or woman comes to us and say, I want to go in law enforcement and make a difference and a change, and we shout them down. We call them Uncle Tom. We call them traitors, sellouts. That is just so backwards thinking. We need to change that mindset and lift them up and say, you're going to go into that institution and turn it into a noble profession of protecting people the right way. And that is what I believe we need to do. That's what this conversation needs to be, more than a debate. It must be a moment of changing the ecosystem of public safety.
Wow, that is such a powerful comment, sir. And I know that you're also running for mayor, and I do feel like this kind of agenda really just speaks to the fact that police brutality is an issue that we actually must vote on, right? So when people are thinking about who needs to be in office, who are the individuals that are going to deal with these issues, it really sounds like police brutality and a plant-based diet are on the mayoral agenda in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Well, so true, so true. And you know, we have an amazing program at Bellevue Hospital, the oldest hospital in America, the first of its kind, a lifestyle medicine program, over 700 people are on the waiting list, over 200 people are in the program. The Health and Hospital is one of the largest medical systems in the country. As a mayor of this city, we're going to have real disease reversal. We're going after targeting everything from healthy food in our schools, serving healthy foods in all of our city agencies. We can't continue to feed the crisis. That's what happened over COVID-19. People had, over 90% of the people who died from COVID-19 had comorbidities. Over 90% of the people who were hospitalized had comorbidities and pre-existing conditions. We want to change it around. And that's why I'm hoping my book, if I could just show everyone, and I love this meal on the front page, but Healthy at Last is really having this real conversation with you. Not talking down to you, not talking at you. I want people to feel as though I'm sitting in their living room, they're speaking to their cousin, their brother, their son, and we're engaging in a real conversation. My mom was 80 years old, 15 years diabetic, 7 years on insulin. Mommy went plant-based, and 2 months she was taken off her insulin. And what's deep is her doctor that she had, when she told him she wanted to cycle off insulin, he dropped her as a patient just to find another doctor who was willing to work with her, because you need a healthcare professional that believes in disease reversal. And if your doctor doesn't believe in disease reversal, find yourself another doctor. You must find a doctor that believes in your ability to reverse your disease, minimize any medication that you're taking, and we can do it. And that's what I'm hoping my book shows people, how to do it in a real way. Not trying to do it in this way that is, you know, so technical and so far removed. No, this is a straight up bona fide Black folks way of just, you know, having a real conversation of how you can change your lifestyle. The person you want to be is inside you, and they're ready to come out. God meant for us to be fruitful and multiply, not toxic and die. This is your chance to do so.
Wow, man.
That's beautiful right there. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Please let the people know, how can they follow you? How can they support you? And how can they get a copy of Healthy at Last?
You could do an advance order through the normal channels, Amazon and others, but they can also follow me on all social media at Healthy at Last BK, at Healthy at Last BK. Not a dime of this book proceeds will go to me. It is going to go to opening health ministries in all of our faith-based institutions, because one of the most unhealthy locations we have is in the Black and Brown church. I want to empower people to have health ministries, to use the power of prayer to navigate us through where we are, because food is addictive. It is destroying us. And we need the power of prayer to get us through this moment. And so that is why the proceeds is going to go to building out faith ministries, health ministries throughout this entire country.
Wow, man. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Adams, for coming, for sharing your powerful story and how we can connect and support you. I pray that we can bring you back again and talk with you even more.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Miss Donna, we have you in here, and Mr. Adams, he really said a mouthful. I mean, one of the things that, really stood out to me in particular, where he really shouted you out, was the fact that a plant-based diet can taste good. Health and plant-based, taste and health and healthy do not have to be, exclusive. They can work in tandem. So why, how, because I'm gonna keep it 1,000. I need salt, and I don't want anybody's fake Sioux salt. You know, my mother uses fake salt. She's very healthy, you know. When I moved out is when I decided to, you know, do my own thing here. And I just, you know, Laurie, Morton, you know, these are my friends. So how am I supposed to season food and let food taste good if I can't even use my friend Laurie?
I really think that Message Magazine is committed, and that's why I've been a part of the organization, looking on as a child and then writing for over the last 20 years on and off, presenting the kind of foods that Eric was talking about that he's put in his book. And one of the things for me and my experience has been, as a Black woman, you know, this I've been this all my life. Yeah. We know that non-Black people don't cook and eat like we do. And what I have been bothered by, as I have watched the plant-based movement speed up and take over, is that white folk are leading the march.
Absolutely.
And so white folk are making us think that in order for it to be good, it has to be done the way they say it. Mm. And so our approach to going plant-based keeps coming from them. And when you get Eric's book and read it, he literally is talking about it from the perspective of, like he was just sitting here talking to us, and he goes through being with his family, and if mama forgot her medication and she didn't have to worry about it because all the old people had the same medication, so they could just pass the medication all around. And
that's so then, Black.
His, I mean, literally, they would all pull out their pill boxes and, okay, well, that's what you need, Louise. Okay, you can have some of mine. That's what they were doing. And then his significant other, she was kind of sounding like you. I don't know if we can do this. And so they came back to their homes and they emptied their refrigerators. And then they started making foods that were culturally relevant to them, to leave our culture. And part of our culture is flavor. The other thing, when you talk about salt, I don't tell our patients they can't have salt. I offer them herbs and spices and other substitutes. But one of the biggest sources of sodium in the diet that throws off the sodium-potassium balance that helps to cause all these problems is animal products. Milk, eggs, butter, cheese, yogurt, sour cream, they're extremely high in sodium. So you're getting that sodium without necessarily tasting the sodium because it's a part of that product. And then if you take that out of the diet, you are reducing your sodium intake by a whole lot. And then you can begin to taste the food that you want to literally taste. And I was on a call with a client on Sunday, and I'm telling her, old school, you want to have a smoky flavor and a salty flavor. And so you buy, now you have available on the market, plant-based chicken broths, McKay's chicken style seasoning, Beyond Bouillon, those things are fire. And then for the smoke, you can do something like bacon or liquid smoke or smoked paprika. And when that's in the food tastes good. So Eric said he actually sent somebody to his mama's house, start cleaning out her cabinet. She was not happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he started introducing this food that was seasoned. The first miracle in the Bible that Jesus did was to change the water into wine. And when they drank Jesus' wine, they said, this is the best wine we ever had.
That's what the Bible said.
That's what the Bible said. And so if you're eating at a plant-based table and it don't taste good, get up and go find you another table. Just like when you're buying those lovely shoes. I saw those shoes you wanted to get, those pretty shoes you had on. Yes, you keep looking till you find, and then you season it so that people enjoy coming and are inspired to make the changes. That's how we do it. And when it tastes good, who's not going to eat it? You're not going to have nothing left because it tastes so good.
Wow. You know,
what's funny, Claudia, people love Donna, okay? And if they sit there and they go to her class, I can only imagine how people just want to hug you, Donna. It's like, this is good. This is good because food is so important to, and I may, you know, maybe I'm overstepping. I can't say that food is more important to Black people than others, but it certainly seems in this conversation that we have a relationship with food. Mm-hmm. That for better or for worse, we're there.
Yes.
And so he talks about it
in his book, this relationship being soul food. And when we say soul food, it can mean a variety of things. But literally, part of the reason we enjoy soul food so much is because of what you're saying. It does something to us. And one of the examples that he gave was how after slavery and things were free, but we still didn't have access, some of the things that we had to do was pack our own food to carry with us. And so we used foods that could travel. And fried chicken was one of those foods that we could put, you know, in the car, on the train, wherever we were going. And it was soothing to us because we are living in the midst of all this crazy where my mother actually was in show business and she could perform at an event, but she couldn't stay at the place where she performed. And so that does something to your inside. And these foods that we were able to carry with us became comforts to our soul. And so it's hard when we're talking to our Miss Lady, Miss Claudia here, and we're talking about Chick-fil-A. It's not just the food, because we can explain to you the reason that he was so sick with diabetes and I was as sick as I was with breast cancer was because these animal products wreak havoc on the body. So I can hear that intellectually, but it ain't nothing like coming from a crazy meeting and driving through Chick-fil-A, because I can't even go in there now and buy it myself. I got to go through the drive-thru and get it. And when you pop it in your mouth, Claudia, immediately your body responds, and whatever happened, you suddenly feel better. And so we do have this.
You're telling me what I already know.
And so we have this kind of relationship with food, and we have to learn to deal with what's underneath it so that we don't continue to kill ourselves.
That's good.
But Don, talk to us about the whole idea of the, you know, his going to Eric Adams' book, he's talking about the horrors of slavery and the food that was passed down. And I would really, you know, and there's a, several of our mutual colleagues and friends that are on the circuit now talking about slave food. What, beyond what the food is, talk to us about the concept of slave food. What in your understanding is that, and why is it being passed down? Because it seems to me we're getting woke-er. we are evolving. And so many of us, you know, we're watching things and we are aware of different things. And so when you talk about slave food, nobody wants that. But what is this concept of slave food, and how come it's so ingrained in our community?
I think the wokeness that we're experiencing now is we are all in a place where God is talking to us and telling us who we really are. And when we landed on these shores, we were not big meat eaters. When you go back to the continent of Africa, even in the communities where they eat meat, it ain't like 12 wings on a plate dipped in buttermilk ranch or whatever. That's not how they did it. So then when we landed in this country and were victims of chattel slavery, the master was not interested in our health and us prospering. He wanted us to have enough to eat to do the work that he wanted us to do. And so I remember my mother and grandmother talking about living high on the hog, and that's what the master was able to do. And he threw what he didn't want to eat out to the slaves, who in some places could do their own gardening and stuff, but pretty much whatever the master gave them is what they ate. And so essentially we became creative with what the master gave us for a time when we were on the plantation. And when we left the plantation and walked into freedom, that food was what we knew how to prepare. So we continue to prepare it. And like he said, pass it on generationally. And as the knowledge of how poorly it impacts our body is coming out, we're having a Claudia moment. I mean, I had the same moment. I was always vegetarian, but what do you mean? Give that up? Why? Because why? Well, it's not too good. Well, I'll exercise a little more. Okay. Well, I won't eat as much. Well, I'll do a cleanse, but it's still doing the damage. And so we were making something out of what we had to survive. And we've been in survival mode, and this food has brought us comfort. And now we're beginning to realize, you know what? As a matter of fact, the largest population who is turning to plant-based food is not white people. It's like 3%. It's 18% of the people who are doing it are Black and brown people, because we're starting to understand, like he's telling us, this is crap. This is the master's food. And, and do you want to continue to put this in your system and experience the disease? And then when you make it a spiritual thing and go back to the word of God, God says in Exodus, if you do what I say, I won't put these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. I was in a meeting at Morehouse School of Medicine, and a physician from CDC put a papyrus up on the screen that had the diseases that the Egyptians died from. And they were diabetes and heart disease and cancer and rheumatism and arthritis and malaria and all these other things. And God is saying, but if you do what I say, you're not going to get this stuff. So Black folk have had the Bible interpreted to them Eurocentrically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The Europeans enslaved us. And now I think God is pulling the wool and the scales back so that we can see who we really are in him and set us free.
All right.
That is so powerful. And you know, the other thing I was thinking about as well as you were talking, Ms. Donna, I also think that this food is intimately attached both to the breaking down of our bodies, but also the breaking down of our communities, right? Like a lot of these meatpacking places, a lot of these factories, a lot of these places are in low-income, rural, predominantly Black communities, so that you have Black and brown families who are literally growing up, living around, constantly smelling dead flesh.
generational,
constantly smelling the odor of pig feces and things of this nature, so that not only is it is the consumption of this food breaking down our bodies, but literally the manufacturing of the foods and the distribution of the foods, the breeding of the foods is also breaking down our bodies and our community, so that we're getting illnesses just by virtue of living next to these plants and next to these farms. We are getting, we are experiencing negative effects just by virtue economically of living around these kinds of facilities. So that we've really got to think, you know, man, how is this just holistically actually breaking down our communities and our bodies? Because it's not just, well, I'm not going to eat pork anymore, to eat chitlins anymore, so I'll be fine. No, you living around it, smelling it, is also having a negative impact on you as well.
I think in the movie What the Health, there's some discussion about that. They were noticing. Yeah. That people who live near these meat packing plants and the stench of it and the decay of the animals and all of that was right there. Then you consume it and then you develop diseases that shorten your life and the lifespan of the children that you're having. And so it's cyclical. And so I'm excited to hear that Eric is using the proceeds of his book to help establish and support health ministries across the country, because that's where it's going to really make a difference. And the Bible says, if they're sick among you, call on the elders to pray. That's the church. And then we need to find medical professionals who believe that science exists because of the Creator God. And his science is the one that's really going to make a difference in our lives. And so then we change our living and we plant our foods. If I had money for every person I've talked to this COVID season who has a garden now, God has given us to that. And so now we don't have to buy the food, and people are canning the food again, which takes us back 50 years when our forebears did that sort of thing. And to be able to have the freedom. And I think as a public health professional, we got, and Eric said this, we got off the plantation, but were we really free? And so much of the way that this country is set up, and this is borne out in the article 1619 that she did for the New York Times, is intentional. They intentionally keep us where we're kept and have that stuff around us, and the fast food restaurants are there, and the food is cheap at the fast food restaurant, and you're working quickly and hard, and this is all you can get. And Eric and I and others are saying, no, you are wonderfully created and God has better for you. And he is opening up ways for you to find the answer and the support that you need to get your health back. And stay, because the Bible talks about visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation, but showing mercy. And I think during this time of enlightenment, God is showing us mercy so that we can make a difference in other folks' lives.
I'm going to ask you something. I should have asked this earlier, sort of as a foundational question, but it's still bothering me in the back of my mind. You know, when you think about diabetes, and Eric Adams was telling us about the reversal of his diabetes, which is so beautiful. I mean, he was blind already.
Literally blind. He woke up blind one morning. Yes. Woke up blind.
So, but when people think about diabetes, you're not thinking about meat. You're not thinking about plant, you know, we've always been taught or always thought this had to do with sugar and refined foods such as your rices and your flours and everything like this. Can you, one, explain to us the nexus between a plant-based or, you know, getting rid of the animal-based foods and diabetes? That's one question, but I also want to know, well, go ahead, take that first.
When it comes to diabetes, in our community, we use the word sugar. He had a little sugar in the blood, and we know that that can be used for several things. When we talk about diabetes sugar in the blood, for years, we were taught that you wanted to control your starch intake because once that was digested in the bloodstream, it turns to glucose, which is what we need for energy to function. And it seemed that the folk who were diabetic, pre-diabetic, their blood sugars were not controllable. And if I controlled how much starch or carbs I ate, then I could keep the sugars under control rather than reverse them. And so you stayed away from pasta. And some people wouldn't even eat an orange or an apple because there's too many carbs. It's gonna make my blood sugar go up. My aunt used to plan her meals, ask us what we were having, and then figure out how much insulin she was gonna take so that she could eat what she wanted to and then shoot up behind it. What has been revealed is that it ain't about the carbs. It's about God created our bodies with cells, and the cells are supposed to be opened up by insulin when we eat a meal so that the sugar can go inside of the cell instead of staying on the outside and causing problems. If the cell is working well, that happens. If the cell is not working well, we're diabetic. What causes the cell not to work well? Cholesterol and saturated fat that are only found in animal products. Listen to what Jesus said when he gave us permission to eat meat. He said, never eat the blood or the fat. So this fat fills up on the cell. You eat whatever it is you're going to eat. And a minute later, oh my goodness, I'm going to pass out because my blood's so high. The reason it's high is because the insulin was released, but it cannot open the cell because it's all gunked up. And the way that manifests is your vision goes away. You can't feel your fingers and your toes. Your kidneys are cannot handle the size of the protein from the animal. Men begin to experience erectile dysfunction, and that's the first sign usually that there's a problem. You can't feel your fingers or your toes because the blood vessels are coated with this. And when you open up a patient who's having a heart bypass and they go in there to do the heart bypass, that's what they're scraping out of the blood vessels. So when you stop eating the animal products, which are hard at body temperature, which harden the blood vessels and fill them up, you stop putting in what causes the problem. Then when you start eating fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, however you are preparing them, a little salt on it if you need some salt, some chicken seasoning, whatever, literally those things make the blood vessels flexible again, and they clean out what has coated the inside, the plaque that's in there, and literally you are healed. That's it, you're healed. We watch patients who come into our clinic who have advanced symptoms from diabetes, and the one that bothers us the most is this erectile dysfunction if there's a husband and wife. Within 4 weeks of them coming to the clinic and making the lifestyle changes, the wife will look at us and say, everything's working like it used to work.
Glory, I know people, are you helping people today, okay?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I don't think we get that. We are so wed through our emotions to these foods and behaviors that God can't even set us free. It kind of reminds me of the folk in Texas who didn't get the news that they were free.
Oh yeah.
We're free. Yeah. We're free. Yeah. And we need to start living like we're free.
But Donna, on the flip side to that is that you have people around here who are saying, well, you know, I'm on keto and I'm on paleo and I'm, you know, okay, so I did cut out all these bad carbs and I'm eating the way our ancestors probably ate with, you know, basically meats and stuff, and I'm losing all this weight. So are you saying that, you know, you don't recommend that?
No. The reason you're losing weight is because you're no longer giving your body the carbohydrates that it needs to help you function. So your body now needs energy, so it burns the fat off so that you have energy. That's why you're losing weight. That's the only reason why you're losing weight. And so we have to stop taking what man tells us if it contradicts what God says. And God said in Genesis, fruits, nuts, grains. After they sinned, he gave them vegetables. The only reason he gave them meat was because all the vegetation was gone. And he said, if you eat it, eat the clean ones, but do not ever, it shall be a perpetual statute for all your generations. Do not eat the blood or the fat. Cheese is fat from animals. I mean, that's what it is. I didn't think about it that way because for many years within Adventism, we believed that it wasn't time yet to stop eating that stuff. So we thought we had to do it nutritionally. So you would combine the macaroni and the cheese to get a whole protein. They're discovering now that all the amino acids that you need are in a sweet potato or some broccoli. God is the one that we're having to go back to. And I tell my clients, whatever the doctor tells you, run it through the word of God. And then Eric said, and if your doctor is not in agreement with you, my doctor wasn't happy with me when I made the decisions for breast cancer. His doctor wasn't happy with this thing here. Find a doctor who understands lifestyle medicine, which is how choices cause disease and how choices can reverse disease. And if you are blind, he woke up blind. He could not see. They told him, turn in your driver's license because you just gonna get worse and you gonna die. And he's like, I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. And that's what he's doing.
That is powerful right there. And I mean, you know, everything you said, like I firmly, you know, agree and definitely believe it. You know, even for individuals who, you know, potentially have not gotten all the way to diabetes, I know for a while I was experiencing a lot of fatigue. And I think Black people in general experience a lot of lethargy and fatigue. And so because of that, we don't often realize when the lethargy and fatigue is attached to our diet.
Right. And you are lethargic. The blood vessels are coated with the fat. And so your heart can't work like it's supposed to. And so when you make the change, the energy level goes up. And we're not talking, we're just talking about the lethargy. We're not talking about the stress of being Black in this country, because that's another thing.
Correct. Right. And I think that that's the thing. I think, you know, when you don't know, right, you're just dealing with, you know, working all these hours or family stress or community stress or what have you. And so you don't realize that eating all these fatty foods is also what's making you lethargic. And oil, all the oil that you're consuming and the grease that you're consuming and the butter you just put on top of the baked beans and, you know, all that stuff is also what's making you tired. So after every Sabbath meal, after every holiday meal, and everybody in the family takes a nap.
That's right. They can't not wake up because of the itis.
Yeah, exactly. And I know for a fact, like I see an immediate change, you know, because I want to speak to the people on here that are not diabetic, who are skinny, that look like me. I also know that you are out there just like me, in love with Chick-fil-A, in love with oil and salt and meat and all of it. But the fact is that you do feel lethargic. You don't recognize it just yet, that or you don't know that it's attached to your diet. And when I cut out fast food, when I started increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables I ate, when I started decreasing the amount of juice that I drink and just started drinking a whole bunch of water, there's an immediate change, an immediate reaction that happens in the body. And so I know for a fact, just even personally, that when you make these kinds of healthy plant-based alterations to your diet, your body is immediately like, whew, oh, thank you. Oh man, I was like he was talking about, we don't eat food, we eat food like substances. So it's like the moment that you start intaking food, the body is like, oh
yeah, oh, finally I can have it. I want to say this. If you're not ready to give up the meat, cook it yourself at home and make your own french fries at home. I have a bag from McDonald's. I think I have shown this to Carmela. A bag from McDonald's of a burger and french fries that my husband and I bought in 2005. I show this bag, 2005. I show this bag to my students and our patients. In 15 years, it has never molded.
I'm sorry, what? It has never molded. Now, I don't go to McDonald's, but still, I'm sorry, what?
the bread just shrunk and got hard. The burger shrunk and got hard. And the french fries got hard. I left it sitting out on my counter. No fleas, no flies, no gnats, nothing. And as we're watching this unfold, we're thinking, surely something's going to come and try to eat this. It didn't. I put it in a container. I saved the receipt. It was a drive-thru at McDonald's in Lithonia, Georgia. It is now 15 years old and it never molded. And so do know that they are out to kill you. They're out to kill you. You cannot be well if you're eating that stuff. And because we have to meet patients where they are, if they're not ready to give up meat, okay, then go somewhere where you know who prepared the meat and killed the meat and cooked the meat, and that they got Idaho potatoes with the skin on them like I used to eat when I was a little girl, because this other stuff is not food. It's not food. It's not food. And this other thing came to me this week in talking about, I love the story of Daniel and the three Hebrews, and I'm trying to figure out how we address stress as Black, but racism really is what it is. Mm-hmm. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys did this lifestyle for 10 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the end of the 10 days, they were wiser and better looking, and we know they were all Black, so they must have been super fine. And then later on, I'm watching how they face the fiery furnace and the lion's den, which I would equate with racism and how we're stressed, but they walked into it unafraid. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we understand how the lifestyle choices that we make impact our ability to respond to stress.
Wow. Wow. Man, I can't say it any better than that. I guess I'll ask one, you know, I'll ask our closing question and then give you the opportunity to really kind of share with the viewers how they can follow you and obviously, you know, purchase your recipe books and other things like that. What is the hope for you in regards to a plant-based diet in the times that we're living in? Even though it seems like white people have taken this thing and they are putting their own spin on it and marketing it and turning it into a whole culture. What is your hope for Black viewers and Black communities around a plant-based diet?
Take it back. Take it back. The same way, and Carmela is closer in age to me than you are, so we can remember our daddies and uncles and stuff marching through the 60s, taking back what was our God-given right. Take it back and go to church and refuse. There's a minister in Mississippi who doesn't allow all this crap on the table anymore at his church. And when you take it back, you own it. And then in the Bible, when the Holy Spirit fell down on the disciples and they started speaking in tongues, everybody heard it in their own language. So I don't tell Black people that in order to be healthy, you got to go and steam broccoli. I don't even tell them they have to steam their food. Let me tell you the truth on that. Because Black people do like Jesus did in the Bible with his disciples. He sopped with them. And when you sop a biscuit or a cornbread, all the nutrients that have leached out of the food into the broth, you are eating. Or your mama gives it to you in a cup to drink. And so sure that you are giving the story in the language that they hear. For African-Americans, for African-Americans who are from South Carolina, for Caribbeans who are from different islands, for people in Africa, do not come over here trying to colonize my diet. I am going back and I want you to hear it the way that you need to hear it so that you can be successful with it.
My goodness.
Taking a line from last night, I will not be lectured about
Hey, okay, man.
Now, this is what we do. This is what we do.
Yes, oh, I mean, we're the ones in the kitchen all these years. So just season it and serve it.
Yeah. Come on now.
This was so good, Miss Donna. I mean, you just broke it all the way down. Eric Adams was phenomenal, a truly amazing treat earlier in the show. How can people follow you? How can people support you? How can people get your content so that we can be up in these kitchens cooking?
That's right. You can get on a subscription list for Message Magazine. I write the recipe column for that magazine. You can contact us at our office, lifestyletherapeutics.com, spelled with an X, where my husband does physical therapy and I do wellness coaching and plant-based cooking classes. You can follow me at Still Shoutin, STILLSHOUTIN, on Instagram and Twitter. And if you are gonna purchase this book, Eric Adams and I have partnered to start a health initiative that is faith-based. It went live on yesterday. We can post that information in the comments where you can enroll in a virtual class, and we're gonna read Eric's book, and we're gonna do food demonstrations once a week. And once a week, we're gonna have physicians to come who are plant-based and tell you how you can be free. And then we want you to tell mom and them and granddaddy and everybody else so that they can be well, so that we can get ready to warn the world and get ready to go to heaven and live with him for eternity.
Man, amen. I will make sure to get that link from you. I'm gonna put that right there in the comments, because guys, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to be in the class, okay? I'm trying to see how they cook this stuff up, all right? Now, Louise Davis, right? Now, Louise Davis in the comments, she just wrote cornbread and greens. We'll sop it up in a minute. Listen, yes. I follow you on that, Louise. And what I'm saying is I know for a fact that we can cook the cornbread and the greens without all the butter, the turkey leg, and all that other stuff that we put in it. And I'm sure that we can put this thing together, and I know that it'll still be sop up worthy, right?
That's,
I think,
right. That's what sop it want. Up. Sop
we
it up.
We won't sop up worthy food, all right? So listen, y'all, it is always a pleasure to do this with you, Miss Donna. It was great to have you back. Man, of course, you know, anytime we can do this again, we definitely will, because, you know, you always bring an energy and a knowledge around this topic that is very, very hard to find. So we appreciate you and for taking the time to come here and share with us all of your knowledge and expertise.
All the love.
Yes, for sure.
Now, y'all know we are having another conversation next week. You do not want to miss this. My friend Wandelay will be here. He is a South African architect, and he specializes in how architecture is connected to social justice. And so he has created a group called the Ubuntu Design Group. He is an Obama fellow. And so he has been meeting with Obama and several other individuals for years now. And they are working to really show how urban development, community development, and how we build things impacts the health of our communities. So as you know, we are talking about it from all different angles. And right here at Message, you know, we care about social justice. And so we don't just care about police brutality and criminal justice reform, but just like we spoke about today, we understand that a plant-based diet is a social justice issue. When you care about what you put into your body, you are directly impacting the other communities that you may not have even seen, and you're also impacting the community in which you live. So social justice is about being plant-based. Social justice is about architecture. And so I want you all to join us next Thursday at 11 a.m., where we are going to have a conversation with somebody who has been all around the world, literally talking about architecture and social justice. So please do not miss it. All right. Listen, every single weekend we do this. We do it right. We do it good. It's always a dope guest. It's always a dope conversation. It's just going to be a new topic at the same time and in the same place. So make sure you join us. All right. Right here on What's the Message. Now, I told you last week, I almost forgot. Listen here. The spirit would not let me forget though. I am trying to do something. Now, I've seen many of you have come onto the YouTube. We've got over 200 subscribers on YouTube. The Lord is good. But I told you I need 1,000 subscribers on YouTube before the end of 2020. So that means you've got to share this video. You've got to tag some people. You've got to text some people and be like, are you following Message on YouTube? Because they are posting some amazing content. So I need 1,000. 11100 on the YouTube channel before the end of 2020. All right, I'm speaking it. And I see even my followers and my likes on my Facebook page have increased. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm trying to do out here. I need 15,000 likes and followers on the Facebook page. All right, we are almost at 14K. That's what I like to see. So I need you to keep sharing. I need you to keep liking. I need you to keep sharing this content with more people. All right. So make sure that you are following us. right here on our Facebook page. Make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. And of course, make sure that you are following us on Instagram and Twitter at Message1898. And of course, like Miss Donna said, if you want to get some of these amazing recipes that she has, she literally writes an amazing recipe in every single issue of the print magazine, like every single one, which means if you are a subscriber of Message Magazine, you're immediately getting Miss Donna Green Goodman's amazing food content. So you want to go to www.messagemagazine.com and make sure that you are subscribed to our print issue. Carmela and I are very intentional about not putting out the print issue content online because we understand the value of what is in these magazines. So make sure that you are subscribed to our bi-monthly issue and our weekly newsletter. You can do both of those things at our website at www.messagemagazine.com. Thank you all for, again, spending your morning with us. I'll see you next week.
Yeah. Claudia, I think the one other thing that we have to remember,
our behavior is definitely influenced and impacted by like something. And we know. We're just excited that with the powers of Zoom and the like,
the eating of certain animals.
Headlines. I am your host, Claudia Allen. This is my chief at this time, right? So many churches are asking.
80% of the affiliates, ABC affiliates here in the United States.
Not telling the truth and going back to let's just dip.
Some of the issues. And so we live our lives working. If you think about
brother from another mother, the pastor, Richard Crawford, and I'm telling you, you know, we handle the heavy stuff. We do the heavy stuff.